This weekend starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their Early Access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Daylight saving time ends Sunday, and the bonus hour when the clock turns back can bring more than extra sleep. For those still chasing the goal of becoming a morning person, the annual change can be a good time for a reset. Alina Dizek, contributing reporter to the Wall Street Journal, says the transition from daylight saving time can help us recommit to better habits around sleeping and wellness. She found ways to win the transition. Alina, take us through it.
Yeah, there are people that struggle when the clocks turn back, and sometimes they miss the extra daylight. They can't seem to adjust their wake times. They go to sleep later. So there's definitely an adjustment for a lot of people.
All right. So how do we begin to address this? You talked early on about just going to bed a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we can really start to address this by not switching over to the later time and really letting our bodies rest. I think that's one of the things that experts recommend is just to, if you go to bed by 10 p.m., to continue to go back to bed by 10 p.m. so you get extra sleep and you can catch up on your sleep.
All right, what about for kids?
For kids, experts often recommend the opposite approach. So they want some parents to move their child's bedtime later by a half an hour so they don't end up waking up earlier and waking up the entire family.
I hope they're listening. You're welcome, kids, for the extra 30 minutes. Right? You said to talk about like start right. Like if you wake up, just kind of stay up, go for a walk, something like that.
Exactly. If you wake up earlier, it's a good time to either restart your exercise routine or go for a walk, just really taking advantage of that extra time to get your body moving, especially if you work from home and then have to sit at your desk for the rest of the day.
We're speaking with Alina Dizek, contributor to the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Daylight Saving Time Ends Sunday, Four Ways to Win the Transition. Explain the part two about turn in, tone down.
So the doctors that I spoke with recommend really taking advantage of the longer evening hours, and rather than drinking a cup of coffee or getting extra food or, you know, trying to stay alert by using your screens at night, they're really saying to relax at night as your body gets tired, and to really truly let your body settle down.
And as part of that too, locking screens or lock screens.
Screens can interfere in melatonin production, which makes it harder to go to sleep on time. So turning your screens to some sort of night mode can help make you, you know, sleepier and go to sleep at a regular time.
Thanks, Alina. Alina Dizek, contributor to the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, Facebook transitioning to the metaverse. Hey, do you ever feel boxed in by your wardrobe that you have to choose between comfort and style? Well, the founder of Cuts felt that way, so he reinvented the idea of work leisure apparel from the ground up, starting with the basic t-shirt. The result is a shirt stylish enough for the boardroom or the broadcast booth. I love shirts from Cuts. They're the most comfortable, most durable, and the most fashionably flexible. I've worn them with shorts and sandals and also under a suit jacket. And now they've got another innovation. Cuts always-on joggers are pants designed to never take a day off, even when you do. From working out to eating out, Cuts always-on joggers fit you and the situation perfectly with comfort that never quits and style that never disappoints. They're the choice of elite athletes like Patrick Mahomes, Damian Lillard, and Bryce Harper. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off your first order. Glad you could spend some time with us. Facebook is making a massive pivot to the metaverse, and it seems more motivated by the need to distract people from the bad things Facebook has been doing than the maturing of the metaverse effort. More from Rob Enderle, principal tech analyst at the Enderle Group. Rob, how do you see it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The metaverse is coming, but it's certainly not here yet, and very few people really know even what it is or will be. In fact, I would argue nobody really knows what it's going to evolve into. Not really. This is much like it was with the internet in the mid 90s when Netscape first showed up and we had browsers. We had no idea the internet was going to turn into what it's become over 20 years later. So the metaverse is going to go through that same kind of evolution. Basically, what it is the digital representation of things put together in a format that makes it seem real. And these things can be actual things. They can be imagined things. When it matures, we will undoubtedly have all kinds of different places we can go, every place from a digital representation of our house and work to a digital representation of our favorite book or movie. And we can experience them through mostly VR, mixed reality glasses, or our computer screen. And so it's a big thing. And to a large extent, it's expected to at least initially supplement and possibly even replace the internet we have, though that will undoubtedly take decades. So it's huge. But as you pointed out, Facebook's issue was the Facebook papers, which showcased that Facebook was making decisions to harm people in order to make more money. And Facebook needed a distraction. And Facebook has a very inexperienced CEO who has put himself in a position where he can't be fired. And as a result, it's kind of like watching somebody run around with scissors. This just appears to be another mistake that a more seasoned executive might not have made.
How is it that you suggest Meta could become MySpace?
Well, so the first movers rarely end up being the dominant player. They spend a lot of money to kind of define the new category of technology, but then somebody else slipstreams them and goes where they didn't go, which is what happened to MySpace. MySpace was the predecessor to Facebook. It was a first mover. It showed a lot of potential, but Facebook came in and just took them out and recognized at the time MySpace was owned by the same folks that own Fox News, so they certainly had a lot of resources and could have defended. Well, Facebook was just an itty bitty company at first, yet rolled right over them. So it just showcases when you have a change like this that is significant. Sometimes a small company can come out of nowhere and just take the whole thing over. And the metaverse is kind of in that vulnerable position right now because it is not well defined. And Facebook looks like they wouldn't be particularly good at defining it given their past behavior. Suggest they put ethics behind profit, and that typically is not doesn't result in good things for the company that's exhibiting that behavior.
We're speaking with Rob Enderle, principal analyst and founder of the Enderle Group. He's written a piece for internetnews.com called Facebook Becomes Meta, but Did It Move Too Soon? With regards to Facebook and these ethical problems, I mean, how long could it be before they shake them?
Oh, geez. They continue to come forward. We have another cache of documents that has yet to be revealed, which is going to keep this going for a while. the clock starts in terms of changing a reputation when the bad behavior stops, or at least the reporting on the bad behavior stops.
Yeah.
And we haven't reached that point yet. And then it really depends on the marketing, the what the company does and everything else. A typical rule of thumb, it takes about 5 years to recover a bad reputation and can cost anywhere from $100 million to $1 billion, depending on how bad the reputation is. When you're a company the size of Facebook, of course, individuals can do it for less.
Yeah.
But you're still talking about millions of dollars, even for individuals. It's really tough to turn around a bad reputation, especially with the internet, which tends to you know, resonate and remind people of what it was you'd done before. So right. The internet never really forgets. And of course, Facebook is an internet company at its heart.
Go, if you would, quickly, like in layman's terms, back up for just a second and give me like the elevator explanation as to what the metaverse could mean or how an average person could be involved in a scenario you envision.
Well, so the Matrix is a metaverse concept. It was the movie that came out where people lived in a virtual world, and the rules that appeared to be solid and based on physics were actually based on computer code. That's what the metaverse is. It's a world based on computer code, and it'll be used for things like simulation. If you were designing a home or remodeling a home. In the future, you'll use the metaverse to do that first and get happy with it and then translate it to the real world. Or you might build your dream house in the metaverse and just go visit it virtually while you live in an apartment saving money. But the metaverse is a way for people to explore ideas, to experience physical objects that are remote, and to do simulation. So rather than putting people at risk, you can do it in the metaverse. For instance, the autonomous car research going on right now is largely being done in the metaverse. You don't see a whole lot of autonomous cars out there driving around. That's because thousands of them are driving around in an artificial world, which is keeping pedestrians safe if one of them goes sideways and decides that maybe it needs to be scored on how many pedestrians it rolls over as opposed to how many it misses. So the metaverse is that virtual world that we will increasingly live in, either in video games, movies, or in our work and personal lives.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, founder and principal analyst at The Enderle Group. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better. Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. HARRYS. harrys.com/deal. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. First full weekend of November. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka coming up this half hour. Why many seasonal jobs will become permanent this year. Millennials comfortable with cryptocurrencies will explain what they should know. And running the New York City Marathon for a cause. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, why does it seem like the littlest things can really set us off? What happens inside our heads to make us lose our minds, letting others impact how we feel? And how can we change that? Here's This Weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
So why are we all losing our minds so easily these days? Whether it's that other driver that cuts us off or a nasty comment on social media, many of us are triggered like never before. Here with some in-depth analysis is Shasheen Shah, executive coach and author of The Kid and the King, The Hidden Inner Struggle High Achievers Must Conquer to Reignite and Reengage with Life. Shasheen, what does it mean to get triggered?
What does it mean to get triggered? I would just argue, I guess any time you have a negative reaction to something, something that bugs you, something that upsets you, and, you know, I kind of started looking at the roadmap of the world and, you know, the good life, and I figured, you know, the person that's getting the least triggered at the end of the day is really winning the game of life.
Why does this seem to be happening more?
Is it? I don't know. Is it happening more? Maybe we're just more aware of it. I mean, I think it's been troubled times. I mean, COVID certainly has put some of us in the pressure zone. And I mean, if you had that little crack on your windshield on the passenger side and you've been ignoring it, these times certainly have like shattered the windshield for a lot of people. So I think a lot of people are a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more aware and maybe less distracted. So we're kind of feeling it a little bit more. But I've been seeing, I guess you're right. I mean, I think I've been seeing that in my clients and just overall in society for sure.
It does seem that one bad thing seems to bother people more than maybe 100 good things that happen in a day. Why do we focus on the negative?
Because we're wired that way, man. We are so wired for survival. We're so wired for the threat. And I think that's one of the most important things in the world to recognize about the human condition. I mean, if we really understand the hardware and the software that we've been equipped with as human beings, we can immediately discover without any degrees that we are wired for survival. So our instincts automatically will go to a threat, what's wrong, what's difficult, what's challenging, and what's upsetting, because we're trying to survive. And it sounds so simple, but if you start to look through life through that lens, you'll start to see and start to understand how predictive it is and how automatic and how simple we are as human beings and how the same things upset us and we act like we're surprised every time it happens.
We're speaking with Shasheen Shah, executive coach. How do you go about trying to control your negative emotions?
I wish there was an answer to that. The answer is going to be a little bit shocking. You can't control your negative emotions, honestly. They're a part of the experience. Without darkness, there is no light. There's the yin and the yang. We've been told a million times that there is contrast in life. Without the contrast, life becomes boring. Now, that being said, the way I like to break it down is really simple. You want to ID the emotional state that you're in, right? So if you're having a bad moment, if you're driving in your car now, if you're listening to the show, and all of a sudden your husband, your wife, your kids, whatever they may have, and if you're not feeling great, you ID the emotion and you ask yourself, what is the intensity with which I want to experience this? And what is the duration with which I want to experience this? So the only levers I think that you can pull when you go into that place is how intensely do you want to experience it and for how long? That is where the artistry, I think, comes in with negative emotions.
That's Shasheen Shah, founder of Coherent Strategies Consulting and Coaching and author of the new book, The Kid and the King, with this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka. Coming up next, Money Moves for November.
Did you know most of the seafood on display at your grocer has been thawed out just to look fresh? Unless you cook it on the boat, peak freshness only happens when it's frozen right after it's caught. That's what they do at Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Premium cuts, ready to prepare, easy to cook. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, with different specials to explore every month. And they offer a 100% guarantee or your money back. I got the Wild Combo Box and couldn't be more impressed. Each piece of fish individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Very environmentally conscientious. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's Wild Alaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Use that URL to let them know that we sent you.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. As the holidays approach, life can feel like it's being fast-forwarded, but don't skip over your finances. November especially can make or break your money goals. Insight from Adam Hardy, reporter at Money.com, who's gathered some advice. Adam, what should we keep in mind?
I think November is just like a really make-or-break type of month in personal finance. I mean, there's a lot of holiday expenses coming up, gift-giving, traveling, and all of that. And the pandemic has really accelerated spending in certain ways, and you'll probably hear me talk a lot about labor shortages and supply shortages, and that's really like amplifying all of the normal November trends we're seeing this time of year. So I think the biggest thing that's going to affect pretty much everyone's wallet is the shopping season. So this time of year, folks can expect some pretty interesting dynamics at play here. So you might come across some shortages in some key areas, electronics, even like turkeys, alcohol, toys, pretty much everything people are trying to buy right now might be in short supply. That could be either due to labor shortages or, again, supply shortages. The companies just might not have them on the shelves, or literally they might not be able to find them somewhere in the supply chain. And basically all of that sort of boils down to higher prices.
Mm. We're speaking with Adam Hardy, reporter at Money.com. One of the things, too, is which is obviously important here, enroll in your employee benefits. And you say, too, you know, just check that same box that you checked last year. What is it that you recommend people do?
So I would say in terms of enrollment benefits and especially health care, folks' needs have changed over the course of the pandemic. Usually, benefits enrollment is not a fun time. It's paperwork.
Yeah.
People tend to, as you said, just check the box, get it done with as soon as they can. But really take stock of what maybe has changed if you haven't really been to the doctor, haven't needed doctor's visits or prescriptions visits. You might not need a super encompassing healthcare plan. And you could switch to a higher deductible one, which means you'd be paying, you know, less each month. The reverse is also true. If you have been going to the doctor more, you might need a more encompassing plan. So you're not footing that, you know, giant deductible. If you're younger and healthy, if your employer offers it, you may also want to consider something like a health savings account. Also this time of year, all of this advice pretty much extends to Obamacare, the health insurance marketplace. Yeah.
Finish up, if you would, on this with first-time home buyers. Your point number three here. What do they need to keep in mind?
Again, labor shortages, supply shortages. That's affecting the housing market, too. So this time of year, November, tends to be a slower season. Some, you know, discount-savvy folks might want to start looking now. But a new report from Open Door really shows, like, the trials and tribulations, if you will, of first-time home buyers. We're seeing that the market is still quite competitive. Home buyers are, you know, paying above market prices. Typically, they are checking like Zillow real estate listings, you know, almost obsessively. They're refreshing seven times or more a day on average.
Oof, wow.
They are putting in multiple offers. Almost everybody that Open Door surveyed, literally 98% of everyone they poll said they missed out on a property they really liked.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Hardy, reporter at Money.com. Coming up next, young adults embracing cryptocurrency. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their early access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Hey, glad you're with us. Well, cryptocurrency is on the rise, with competitors launching their own platforms and currencies to join the race to create more digital currency. This trend is especially popular among millennials ages 25 to 40, who are much more comfortable investing in these assets than older generations. A look at new polling from Bankrate.com, where James Royal is a senior reporter. James, what are we learning?
Yeah, so the big thing we found was that about half of millennials were at least somewhat comfortable owning cryptocurrency. And that compares to about 37% of Gen X and 22% of baby boomers, right? So about 12% of millennials think it's the top place to invest over the next decade. That's crypto.
12%. I think it's the top place. I'm trying to process that. Is that, I don't know, how do analysts feel about that number? Is that too many millennials that feel that way?
Well, in fact, millennials are the most of that group. They think... crypto is the best for the next decade compared to a Generation X and baby boomers, right? Just 9% of Gen X thinks it's the top place, and only 5% of baby boomers think crypto is the best for the next decade. So they're at the highest level in their expectations and optimism for cryptocurrency over the next decade.
Boy. All right, so generally speaking, would an investment advisor say, if you're going to invest in cryptocurrency at this point, do what? no more than 5 to 10% of, say, your cash?
Absolutely. You want to keep this to a small portion of your portfolio. If it works out, great, you're going to do fine. And if those utopian promises of it exploding in value work out, that's all you're going to need. And if it goes to zero, as some people are saying, then it's not going to hurt your portfolio overall too much. But again, you want to keep that in focus. A lot of investment advisors are doing 1% or less. And a lot of large institutionals are doing 1% or less. And so that keeps it at a manageable level. And also people need to think about their other expenses and how this fits into a broader portfolio, right? So this is highly speculative. So if you have other expenses, debt that you need to take care of, that's really a priority. And something speculative like this comes after you've got your financial house in order.
We're speaking with James Royal, senior reporter at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey about the comfort level that millennials have with cryptocurrency. So you touched on risk versus reward. A couple of other points you have here in terms of things you should consider: taxes, scams, things like that.
Taxes are a huge issue, and it's a big area of enforcement for the IRS now. They're focusing a lot more resources on it, and so a lot of people think, well, it's crypto or it's outside the government's ability to see. That really isn't so. And so even if you've traded, if you've owned cryptocurrency, you need to report the fact that you've owned it on your annual tax return. Otherwise, you end up lying to the IRS, and they're not going to take that very kindly. And even if you don't get a 1099 from your broker or exchange about your profits and losses, you still have to report that. That's still a potential tax liability. And I'd also point out, if you're spending it, a lot of people, if you spend dollars, you don't think, hey, I've got to pay taxes on my gain. With crypto, if you spend it, you're on the hook for a potential tax liability, right? If you receive goods and services that are more than what you've paid for the crypto. So that's important to remember as well. These are all, and it's something that makes crypto hard to use. So you're on the hook for taxes if you're spending this in any kind of way.
Thanks, James. James Royal, senior reporter at Bankrate.com. Coming up next, when the New York City Marathon is more than just a run. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy. Well, finally, among the 33,000 runners in the 50th New York City Marathon Sunday will be two friends with an uncommon bond. It will be a celebration of life for Sarah Kate Gillingham and Dave Kane. More than 4 years ago, doctors found cancer in the bile ducts of Mr. Kane's liver. He needed a transplant. When word spread on Facebook, Ms. Gillingham, already a friend, stepped up. Doctors removed 60% of her liver and transplanted it into Mr. Kane. CBS News says when they run Sunday, they'll be raising money for the American Liver Foundation, and they hope raising awareness about organ donation. Ms. Gillingham says it's totally possible to make a bigger impact on the world than you think is possible. She now coaches other donors through the experience and says saving Mr. Kane's life added meaning to her own. Ms. Gillingham and Mr. Kane began planning last year, but the 2020 New York City Marathon, you'll recall, was canceled because of the pandemic. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.